everyone. It's Sandy Cruz from Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. And I'm here to show you that balanced living works. This is especially for all you ladies over 40. We will cover a range of exciting topics with many special guests, and I really look forward to this season. Bye for now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. Today with me, I have Deepika Mistry. She is the founder of anewme.com. She is all about the energy, you guys. We talk about past lives. We talk about energy alignment and all the things. This woman is just amazing. I met her quite a few months ago, and I am really excited for this conversation and to bring this to you. All of her contact information will be in my show notes, so be sure to check her out. That's all I'm going to say there because I want you to listen to the interview, and I think you will find it very enlightening. Now, a couple of announcements, and I am coming close to 2 years in February since I started this podcasting journey, and I'm still loving it, and I've been bringing episodes to you every week ever since. Now, I am actually looking for sponsors, something that I've never really actively looked at doing before, and I feel it's time because I do put a lot of my own time and effort, and my podcast has grown pretty significantly that I feel it would really be worth the while of somebody who is aligned with my messages, with my guests, and all the things to contact me. You can contact me at Sandy K Nutrition on Instagram or on Facebook, or you can send me an email, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca, and we can get the conversation going. If you want to know some of my stats, they're getting pretty darn good, but you can contact me and I can send you my media kit and we can just start the conversation now. November 30th is the absolute deadline to enter my contest to win a My DNAge Biological Age test kit. Do you want to know how old your body is? This is kind of a cool way to find out. I'm giving away one of them, and I'm going to do this in a draw format. I have received quite a few podcast reviews. So how do you enter? You need to send me a review, 5 stars, of course, and a few kind words, and then send me an email and let me know that you've done this, and I will enter you into the draw, which will be happening on November 30th, North American entries only. Now, if you're not already, go follow me on Instagram, go follow me on Facebook, on TikTok, Pinterest. Where else am I? Check out LinkedIn, because I love to connect with a lot of like-minded individuals on LinkedIn. You can find me at all of these places on Sandy K Nutrition. That's all you have to do. And definitely, definitely share my podcast with somebody who you feel may benefit. Because, of course, sharing is the best way to spread the word on what I do, what I advocate for. That is aging better, aging well, alternative wellness, because wellness and aging better is so much more than what you hear through Western medicine. And with that, I am going to cut on through to the interview with Deepika Mistry. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. Today with me, I have Deepika Mistry. And Deepika is an intuitive guide, a healer, a coach, and a consultant. And I think I met Deepika a few months ago. I believe it was in the summer. I met her on Clubhouse, and then somehow I was attracted to her once again, and I saw her on Clubhouse again, and I'm like, we need to record, because I just find her to be a very fascinating young woman, and she has a lot of wisdom to share with us. So welcome, Deepika.
Thank you, Sandy, so much for having me on your podcast. It's such an honor. And yes, I felt the connection too.
Yeah, I felt this. I was drawn to you. And, you know, I guess I'm going to first start by just telling a really quick little story. So I felt this oddness where I just didn't feel, I felt stuck. And then I saw Deepika, I didn't see her, but I went onto Clubhouse and Deepika was doing some readings. And she does this once a week, I believe. And yeah, once a week, right? And yes. So she did a reading for me. And then that actually took me on a month-long journey. So it's been about a month that I've been doing some of the stuff from her website, which is called Anoumi. It's anoumi.com. And that's spelled A-N-O-U-M-E.com, right? And it was just, I feel like she really helped me. So I'm going to start by asking you, Deepika, how did you get in touch with this gift? How did you discover this gift that you have?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
It is.
And I think it's one of the things that it's not something that you intend to kind of acquire or to discover. And it's really on my own personal journey. So in 2009, I was working probably 14-hour days, sometimes 7 days a week, and just constantly on the corporate treadmill, basically. And I was popping, I don't know, Nurofen every couple of hours because I had a constant headache. And I was just overwhelmed, stressed, the full out. I didn't even know that I was burnt out, but I was suffering from anxiety, depression, and the full whack. And then there was this time in, you know, it was on a really tough project. And I went into this meeting room and I started having those heart palpitations. And I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on? And so, you know, it was a panic attack type of thing. And then I heard this voice that basically said to me, which was kind of inside me, but outside of me, it says, Deepika, if you don't have your health, you can't work. If you can't work, you don't make any money. If you don't make any money, then you'll lose the home that you've just purchased, which was just 2 years prior to that. So I'm just like, that really just stopped me in my self-sabotaging tracks. And then I then basically got some time off sick. And then from there, I was told by the doctors I was depressed and suffering from anxiety and suffering from stress and everything like that. And then I made this decision that there's got to be another way to live. There's got to be another way to live. And then that's what kind of started me on this self-discovery path, right? So I went traveling, and then I ended up picking up three books the year after, which was The Power of Now, The Secret, and there was a CBT book, which just really helped me to understand how I was thinking. So The Power of Now really helped me to understand, oh, this is my thought process. You know, this is my narrative in my mind. And then The Secret gave me an alternative. Oh, I could change it to be a bit more positive. This is quite negative. And then the CBT book gave me the tools. And having, you know, being a Java developer in my previous career, I was literally looking at my brain as a computer system and just rewiring it to see where do the wires go, you know. And then that's what started, you know, that started me off on this journey of like, oh, I can actually change things. I can do things differently. And then I would say it's probably that year or the year after I went into this intuition workshop, and we had to do like little practices where, you know, a stranger would read you and I would read a stranger. So I read the stranger, and they were meant to ask me questions, but before they even got a chance to ask me questions, because, you know, the facilitator said, just release the filters from your mind and just say what comes to you. I'm just like, okay, fine, I'll just say what comes to me. And everything I said was spot on for that lady. And I think I freaked out more than that other person. It's like, how do you know that about myself? Me? I said, I don't know. I just made it up. And I think that just started me on this journey of, you know, doing readings for people. And I was doing it for fun. And first they were like written readings where people will send me an email and they'll send me a letter or a name or something. And then I'll just say what comes to me. in that, and then I was doing that for a long period of time. And then I started on my own personal journey, you know, looking into energy healing. I started with Shiatsu, and then that will evolve into Reiki. And then just on that journey, I just rediscovered that I had this ability, which I've always had. Some of the memories from childhood starts coming back, like where I could hear what people were thinking and feeling, and I could hear that versus what they were saying, and I could feel when it was out of alignment. So someone would say something, but the thinking and the feeling would be something completely different. So I would used to say, you know, call it out when I was a child. And it just kind of started off, I would say, probably in 2013, you know, because I've been doing all this work for myself. I was in the office, so the consulting part of my work is I still work in corporate, but as an independent change consultant. So I go in and help out with change work and project management work for financial services. And I was at one of my corporate clients, and in that week I had five people that came up to me and says, "Hey, Deepika, we like the way that you think. Can you coach me? Could you help me to be a bit more like that?" And that's how the coaching and the energy healing business kind of kicked off back then.
Oh, that's amazing. So really, it's almost like the way you describe it, it's like it was a gift that you had that was kind of covered up by your other life. And then it was uncovered again, right? Like rediscovered, yes. Let's say.
I think it's rediscovered, because if I look back and I look at the work that I was doing, I was always reading people. I was being able to maneuver my way around, or remembering some of the projects back in my early 20s, I would be the person in the middle between the business and the technical people, right? So I would be the mediator. I'll be the communicator. So I'll be able to translate things in a way to the business from the technical guys to the business, and then vice versa. And I'll know exactly what needed to be done and how it needed to be said. So that is something that has always come really, really naturally to me. And now I realize as well, actually, I'm feeling more into it rather than it being more of a mental thing or a skill that has been practiced and learned. It's just something that's always been quite natural to me.
Yeah, I'm a big believer that the clues are there when we're younger. And it's just that sometimes it's just not the right time to open up to it. Like even, you know, like I've always been, I think I might have told this story once before, back in university, you know, I had all the roommates and we were all partying and living the life, the student life. And my roommates used to call me mama. And they used to call me mom. And I'm like, how are you calling me mama when we're all drinking and partying and having a good time, right? We're in our early 20s. But it was like that nurturing side. I always wanted to make sure everybody's okay. I always wanted to make sure, oh, you're not feeling well today. Let me make you some soup. Or, you know what I'm saying? So the clues are there. So I think that's beautiful that you rediscovered that. Now, what would you say? I always wonder, like, what's the difference between Reiki and energy healing? Or is Reiki kind of all part of that?
Yeah. So let me just explain how I kind of came to it. Sure. Because I think, so I started off, so I did Shiatsu. So the Shiatsu is also a form of body work, which also involves working with energy as well. So I trained in Reiki. And when those of you guys have done Reiki or are looking to do Reiki, it's a very, it's a Japanese tool of laying hands and working with the chi energy and, you know, clearing out the energy, moving it, and you're working with the chakra system. So I was trained in that, and I can teach that as well. And what I found was that it is a form of energy healing. So in the simplest form, but there's different types of energy healing. And I think with each of us, the more connected we become with ourselves, we find our own way of, you know, working with energy and clearing energy out. And I think part of the teaching kind of comes with whoever you've, if I look back and what I'm doing right now, it is of the people that I've worked with to receive healing from. And I've learned things from them, and I've basically said, okay, that really works with me. I can tweak that and I'll do it my own way. Mm-hmm. So you're working more with your own guidance system that comes from within you.
Okay.
As well. Yeah.
That makes sense. Now, you know, you're talking about clearing energy.
Yeah.
How does one know that their energy needs to be cleared in the first place? How do you know?
Your mind won't know.
Yeah.
But your heart will know. So I think if you've not come across, if I look back and I take myself back into the days when I was in corporate and I knew nothing of energy healing, then I wouldn't have known that I needed energy healing or clearing. I wouldn't have known that, but I definitely did need it at that time, right? So I think it's one of those things that will come to you when you're ready, or something will pop up, or you're guided to the person or the, you know, or a group of people that allow you to kind of do that. So that's one route if you completely don't know what energy healing is. But if you already come across it and you're aware of it and you're not sure when you should go and do some energy healing and stuff, I think it's one of those things is to kind of drop into your heart center and ask yourself, do I need a healing session? So you're going back in and you're trusting your own guidance system. So one of the things is, I think, we try to translate things between our minds. When it comes to energy, it's not tangible to a certain degree, although the results will be, you will be able to see the results and feel the results, but it's not something that is tangible. So what we often do when it's not tangible, we're trying kind of a computer formula in our head to work out, okay, do I need this right now? What is it that I need? So first is to drop into your heart center and ask yourself. Then if you're finding yourself stuck and you've tried everything, so maybe you tried nutrition and you tried working with a coach on your mindset, you've tried different other things and still so you just feel that something is stuck or something is pulling you back or you're feeling heavy or you're not feeling quite like yourself, that's another clue to kind of seek energy work, because all of those can kind of come to having, you know, needing your energy clearing. And that's a very, very, very broad term for the different things that can happen in an energy session.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And for me, I know I just kind of went like, you know, I felt stuck. I personally felt stuck. And then I personally, and I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we need to take a step back in order to really feel what's going on in our heart and hear what our heart is saying. And if we're always doing all the busyness, like, oh, I'm going to travel, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and you never take that time to really hear what your own body is saying to you, then how are you ever going to know, right? What do you think of that?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that, because I think it's one of those things is that if we're constantly on the go and busy and always in our minds, and we'll know, you know, it will, you know, you'll know this is you if you're constantly kind of thinking about the next two steps that you need to take. So what you're doing is you're actually in the future rather in the present mm-hmm. moment. When you're in the present moment, you're more connected to your heart center. So you have a level of awareness and you can feel where exactly you are.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the time that I'm like that is actually when I'm with my dogs. And, you know, it's so funny, you know, you just, a lot of times you're like busy, busy, busy. Oh, just leave me alone with your dogs. But then when you sit down and you pet them, there's nowhere else you can be, right? But yes. Right there in that present moment, because that's what they are. They're always present. So
yes, exactly.
I think that's something that we can definitely learn from our pets. Now, so why do you think humans experience stagnation? Like, why does that even happen? Why can't we just go through life, you know, happy and smoothly? Like, why do we get stuck?
I think there's a number of different reasons. And for some people, they can just go smoothly in life. Sometimes ignorance is bliss and they can go smoothly in life. I think when we become, I feel stagnation happens, or we become aware of stagnation, is when our level of awareness starts to expand. Mm. So as our level of awareness expands, we realize when we're trying to create something and that creation is not manifesting or being created in this reality, we realize, oh, hang on, I feel stuck, or I'm stuck in doing this. And there's a number of different reasons, from everything to anything, of, you know, maybe it's a sign that you're going in the, you know, not in the wrong direction, but Hank, maybe it's taking a step back, as you said before, and checking, okay, is that the right next step for me? Or should I just take a step back and let it go? Because sometimes when we're pushing things too hard, we also tend to stagnate because our energy is going to the push mode. So we're also, again, not in the present moment, so we're not listening to that as well. And sometimes when we are present and we've done the work and yet we still feel that little bit of stagnation, it's then you go into the energetics of it, right? So it could be a thought form program that is running that you're not fully conscious of, but it's in your energy system, and there's a thought that basically said, no, I can't do that. You can't do that. So you don't know, you're consciously saying to yourself, I can do that, right? And you're reaffirming, I can do that. But there's a thought form in your energy system that may have come from childhood, that may have come from a past life, that may have come through the ancestral lineage, that says, no, you can't do that. And to take it a little bit out, even into the woo-woo, come from a different dimension, right? So yeah, there can be a thought form there that can prevent you from moving forward. So that's just one example, but it's just very, very multi-layered in that. And then, you know, things from, and that thought form or that pattern, if you want to call it, or that program, can also come from a past life where you did that one thing that you really want to do right now, but something tragic happened to you, a past lifetime. So then there's a protection mechanism that's built around you that's trying to protect you from doing that one thing that you want to do. So it's also about releasing that. So it's so, this is such a deep question, which has so many different elements to it. So all I say is, if you're feeling stagnated, try different things, and then you'll find that there'll be something that will work for you. And if you can't find something on the logical level, work with an energy healer that can help you explore yourself more on a multidimensional level.
Okay, just from what you said there, I've got like five questions. Okay, you said a thought form. And you and I briefly talked about this. Would this be the same thing as your stories that you always tell about yourself?
Yes, it okay. can be.
Because we talked
it's
about
a,
that.
It's an unconscious one, if you think about
oh,
it.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, so it's an energy. So sometimes we have narratives that will also sit in our energy field.
Yeah.
And this is very, it's interesting. It's great that you're asking me these questions. It's one of those things, I know what it is when I'm working with my clients or working on myself. But when you try to translate it, it doesn't have a direct translation for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So in terms of the stories and narratives, we can consciously have that stories and narratives. So it's something that we are aware of it in our mind, that we're constantly telling ourselves, Topeka, you can't do that because of da 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 da. If you try to do that, then this will happen. But it's running in our heads all the time. So that is something at a level of, you know, you are consciously aware of that.
Right.
You
know, yeah.
That you can then pick out when you ask the question, okay, what story within me is running right now that may be preventing me from moving forward? You can ask that question yourself. And when you ask that question, you might hear yourself say that story or that narrative. And then you get it on another level, which is just a whole other unconscious level, that it could be stuck in your energy field. So if you think this is your physical body, this is your energy system that's around you, and it's much wider, that, you know, it could be stuck anywhere in that sense.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay, this is maybe getting really deep, but your conscious can also be in the energy field as well,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. So you can be like, I can go into the different aspects of the energy field in my own and check it, but I also have blind spots as well. So that's why I work with other healers and stuff for myself, because they can see my blind spots that I can't see as well.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I know one of the things that you do is you help to bridge the gap between the logical, physical world, and then there's the energetic, metaphysical world. maybe like describe, like, what is the metaphysical world? I mean, you touched on it just now, but what is it?
Yeah.
Like you talked about past lives there. You talked about energy, like conscious, subconscious. Like, what is the metaphysical world?
I would say it's the world that is formless. So it's the intangible, but it's something that you know within your heart and you can feel within your own heart center. So in terms of the metaphysical world, it's you know, working with the energies of the universe, so working with your cosmic guides, working with angels and stuff. You know,
okay.
For some people, it will be working with Christ consciousness. So you're kind of going out further out of your day-to-day life and going more on a spiritual path. But the metaphysical world for me is all of that world that's not in this reality that we're living in. So this reality is you have a physical body. You wake up in the morning, you may go and do a job during the day, have a family to take care of in the evening, and then you go back to sleep again. So that is your routine, that's your day. So that is more of the logical world.
Yes.
The metaphysical world is more of the intangible. So when you're working with energy, so, and you're kind of aligning, who am I, you know? What is my purpose? Why am I here? So when you start asking those questions, you start to tap into the more metaphysical world, which is the invisible world. But also there's a lot of richness in there, and it connects you with, you know, your own heart center, your guides that are in the cosmos, or with the angelic guides that you're working with. So it's a very wide kind of definition of that.
Yeah, it is very complex, because I know, you know, I have been looking, you know, watching your stories, and a lot of times you'll ask the questions, you'll just put it out there for people to think about, where you're not always thinking about these things. So, for example, a trigger. If I have a trigger, you would ask me, okay, well, you know, what's the feeling surrounding that trigger, right?
Yeah.
Or judgment. Yeah. If you have a judgment of somebody, like, oh, you know, why would she go and say that? And then figure out, why am I asking about why would she go and say that? Why, right? It's like really going
exactly.
deep.
Yes. So it's really taking you a journey back to yourself, because, you know, everything that we see the world as, not as it is, but as we are. Right. So if we're seeing something and something is irritating us about the world outside of us, it's to take it back in. So what specifically about that that irritates you? So understand what is exactly irritating you, and then go back in to say, OK, where does that irritation sit within your body? So you're then bringing that connection back to your physical body, and you're bringing that back to you. And then you can ask yourself, okay, it sits in my belly. So, okay, if that irritation sits in your belly, what does it feel like? Does it feel hard, soft, warm, cold? Is it moving? Is it stagnated? Does it have a color? Does it have a shape? So you start to go more outside your mind, and you start to explore it with a child's mind to be more creative. Because a lot of my work is really coming from a child's mind. You know, you just keep exploring. There's no, you're not trying to get to a definite answer. You're just wanting to understand and explore yourself a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I know I'll get to that part of it, but I definitely want to get to this question of past lives.
Okay.
Because honestly, look, I don't even know what to think about past lives. I don't, like, and people talk about it all the time, but I honestly don't, Deepika, I don't know what to think. Like, explain it. So past lives, like, what does that even mean? Like,
so I think, yeah, and it comes from a belief system. So like, I grew up as a Hindu, so it was very common to me, because we would say that when you die, your soul leaves your body,
right,
and then it's reincarnated again. So there's a belief based on reincarnation.
Okay.
So as you kind of do that, you keep reincarnating. And I think back as a child, we thought we'd reincarnate as children. But what I've learned through, it's more of a spiritual concept in that sense, that we have lived many lives here. And I think one really great practical book about this is Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Wise. And he's a psychotherapist that did a lot of hypnotherapy, and then through this hypnotherapy work, he ended up regressing someone back to their past life. So that's how that work kind of came about. And I think if you're someone that is very logical, and, you know, I am someone that used to be very, very logical. Yeah. So that book really helped me to understand the concept of past life. And really it is that, you know, and this is your, you can take it to another level in terms of part, you know, we're living this reality right now, but we've, you know, we've lived many lifetimes beforehand. Right. So if you imagine your soul as one big thing, so we're just a small aspect of our soul. Right. So this takes it into a little bit of, this isn't a definite answer, because I think the more I learn about it, the more my definition of this changes. So I can't say I know fully right. what it is.
Well, I don't think anyone
really
can.
Don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can only just share with you what I've learned up until now. And if yeah. I learn something new tomorrow, it will change. So based on, you know, my own journey and what I've learned from different teachers as well, is that we have a soul, which is a bigger, grander aspect of ourselves. And there's a part of us, that part of our soul, that is in this human incarnation. And there's different aspects of ourselves in different lives. So if you think about, this is going to get a little bit confusing.
Okay.
I'm going to try and stay with you. Okay. So if you think, I think the basic part of it is, if you believe in past life, is in very simple terms, is that you've lived before, right?
So okay. Can I just ask you a question? Sorry. So does that, because I really want to understand this, and I am going to get that book, because I just don't get it. But so I was born in 1970. And mm-hmm. I'm going to live until whatever. But yeah. there's another life that lived up until I died, like 1970?
Potentially. So this is potentially. So it's not one I think we can cover in this conversation.
Okay.
It's a longer, bigger topic.
Okay.
But we have, just very simply said, we've had many lifetimes beforehand. Sometimes there's a break in between when we're born and when we die, kind
right.
of thing. Because if you think about it, I tend to like to think about it in this way, like, here's Earth, we're here on Earth, but there's an aspect of ourselves that's above here. So when we die on Earth, we kind of come back to this kind of, call it the waiting room. And in the waiting room, we kind of reflect on the way that we've lived that life, what we've learned, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we're kind of deciding, okay, I've learned those things, but I'm still yet to master this bit. Maybe I'm still yet to master forgiveness. I want to reincarnate where I get to experience life where I have to learn about forgiveness and really master forgiveness.
Hmm.
Right? So you get it reincarnated again, and then it's like, oh, right, okay, I need to master that. And there'll be another soul. It's like, oh, I will help you with that, because whatever reason it is, they come in and they say, well, okay, I want to help you with that, because that will help me with this. So then a whole bunch of, you know, a soul group will come down, and you'll help each other like that. But by the time you come down and be reincarnated on Earth, you've totally forgotten about your soul mission and what you're here to learn as part of the human experience.
This is so deep. So really, you know, we are on this, because I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, he talks about how, you know, we have a purpose. And what does he say? I forget what he calls it. He calls it something very specific, but it's basically our mission. So it's kind of like what you're saying, where we are here on Earth to discover what that purpose is, what that mission is, what that, right? Or, like you were saying, in the past life, maybe understanding more about deep love or something like that. So I'm going to come back and reincarnate, and that's going to be my purpose. I don't know.
Yes. So I think you're trying to overanalyze it.
Maybe.
And try to make sense of from the head. But this is a great, great example. And this is what we're that's why I say this is something that is intangible. There's something, as you go on your own journey of healing and self-discovery, you just start to understand these things as a deeper level of knowing, rather than needing something. Oh, okay. What does that mean in relation to this?
Yeah.
Right. When you're doing, what does this mean in relation to this? You're trying to match it back up to the language of the head.
Yes.
Right? When you're going on that path and just like, oh, all right, I know, but I don't know how I know, right? Then you're working with the language of the heart.
Okay. Right?
Otherwise, you'll get your knickers twisted a little bit by trying to figure out, so what does that mean? How does that work? I need to know. So yes. When you're in that state of I need to know, you're lacking trust and trust in the universe that there is something greater than your own human mind.
Yeah, I definitely would get, as you say, my knickers twisted because I love that saying, because I am an overanalyzer and thinker, right? So I love that. But then, you know, you do talk about doing work in your past life. So what would that work look like then if you're not trying to get too much in your head?
Yeah, I can share that. So that work, it depends. When I'm working with clients, it's more of a feeling. I always check, you know, if they come to me and they say, look, I need some help with this, or I'm finding it difficult to move forward in this area, or want something like this to open up, or I'm not sure what I'm looking for. Can you just kind of do a general energy healing and a clearing and realignment? So what that means is that I'll look at the energies within your body, in your system, and I'll take it a little bit wider than I'll narrow it back in. So look at the energies that don't really align to that person that I'm working on. So we can pick up energies from different people. So every time we interact with someone, so you feel them, and you might be, so if you walked into a room where somebody just had an argument, and after they've had the argument, the energy of the argument will still be there.
Oh,
so you
yes.
might find yourself being a bit more argumentative to someone just out of nowhere and not realizing why you're doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's somebody else's energy in your own energy field, because we're always exchanging energy, right?
Yeah.
So that's one. So I'll do that kind of clearing. And then I will have a look at, you know, what cords of attachments, where are you connected to people? Where has someone corded themselves to you? Because sometimes we feel drained and tired because there's an energy corded to us from another person. And often mothers and child have this cord.
Yeah.
And it's a healthy cord. And then eventually sometimes it becomes unhealthy when one is taking too much from the other and it's not in balance. So you need to cut those cords. So having a look at that. So this is very, very high level, very general. It's a little bit more than that because there's different dimensions to this. And then I have a look at past lives. I'm just like, okay, is there a past life that is stuck? So is there a past life? And when you read the book, you'll understand what I mean in terms of a past life that is stuck. So when a past life is stuck, it means that it's died a traumatic death, for example. Say it drowned. Say a past life of yours drowned. So sometimes you might have a fear of swimming in the sea or something like that, because you may, this is not for all cases, but you may have had a past life where you drowned. And what I look at is lives that haven't been resolved. So if you have drowned, and what happens is that maybe that aspect of yourself doesn't go into the light. So again, it's another concept, but just really simple. So if that aspect hasn't gone into the light, so that life hasn't been resolved. So it's still hanging around. So when we talk about spirits and talk about ghosts, and people seeing them, that are earthbound spirits is what we call them, that hang around, that are looking for the light and haven't found the light. So I help them to transition into the light, that aspect of you, and then clear the energy of that. And once that energy has been cleared, then that the benefits of that can then come forward to you in this lifetime. So that a past life helps you to understand things in a linear way. When you recognize that everything is now, and every moment is now, that the past life is happening in this right, the same moment as we're living this lifetime, and we have multiple realities that we also live in, then that also gets very complicated, but it's also very, very simple.
Yeah, to me, it sounds kind of complicated, but, you know, I don't do this, right? So
yeah.
I guess that's why you sometimes would want to seek somebody's help. Because you don't get caught up in all the, I'm going to say, minutia of it. You just kind of feel the energy that there's some stuckness there. You help to clear that energy. You don't necessarily say, oh, Sandy, yeah, from a past life in 1953, you died and you drowned. And like, you don't go that far and that deep. Or do you?
I do.
Oh,
I do sometimes.
You
sometimes
do?
I do? Yeah, I can see it. So my guides, because I work with a team of guides, so it's not just me. And what I mean by guides, they're...
Yes, I was going to ask you about guides.
Yeah, so they're beings from the universe. And, you know, some of them are angels, some of them have got different frequencies. So they give me guidance in terms of, okay, have a look at this. And I'm quite visual. So when I'm feeling into your energy, sometimes I'll get exact dates where I can get the actual visual that has happened and how you died exactly and when you died with your male, female, whatever. And then sometimes when I'm doing sessions and it's a verbal sessions, I may, so we like going back to the example we said about the irritation sitting in your stomach, right, and the color comes up red, what does a color red represent? And then that person might see a red door, and then the red door opens up and they may see a desert. And then, you know, and so then we end up, as we go through that visualization, because I don't know what exactly is behind that door, you just guide them. I also believe that you are your own best guide. Like everything you need to know is within you. It's about accessing that. So if I'm doing a verbal session, then we'll walk through that and we'll be able to, you know, clear that past life together. So that's really great for those that already are intuitive and wants to strengthen their intuition or their own intuitive abilities. So that's one way. And when I'm doing more of the silent treatment where the client is lying down, I will just feel it and then I will see it as well, some of them. Not all of them, because sometimes it's just like, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, we just need to remove four past lives that are linked to that person's mother because that's what's holding them back. You just clear that out. That's it.
Okay, you're saying you just clear that out. Like, how do you just clear that out? Like, how do you just, do you
so
use...
this is new. So if you... I think it's one of those things, if you're new to energy, it's you're working with things like the, I think, you know, to actually answer that question, it's probably better to do like a conversation of what is energy, how does energy work, and okay, going into that. Yeah. So just in a very, very simple thing, it's energy clearing, which is, just think about it as this way of working with, say the energy of love and light. So you're using that kind of frequency to do the clearing. So you're clearing that out. And there's different tools and techniques. So you can work with the violet flame. You can work with sunlight energy. You can work with the earth energy. So it's just this is, you know, depending on what type of healing work that you do or what modality you use, or you can ask the angels to kind of come and help clear it out. So there's many, many different techniques and stuff. So it's not one thing. I think the energy clearing is just a catch-all for everything to say we're just clearing out the energy. How one does it is dependent on their own training and the way that they work with their own guides.
Okay, fair enough. I know I call myself a student of feng shui because I actually... Mm-hmm. Did a lot of research. I had a feng shui consultant. It's a long story. I'm going to try and make it short. But ever since then, I have found it very important that if there's any kind of situation, if there's kind of negativity, I have my own way of clearing that energy. Let's say I have an argument with my 16-year-old teenager. Happens for sure. You know, and I want to clear, because like you said, somebody else can walk into the room totally apart from the argument and feel it. So I'm always a believer, just as a principle of feng shui. Yes, there's the whole, people think it's just furniture. It's not just about furniture. Mm-hmm. It's about having good energy. And then there's the stars alignment. And, you know, I usually follow the annual stars. So I have my own way, but I do feel it's really important for people to figure out what works with them in order to keep that. Like, people will walk into my house and they're like, your house always feels so good. It always, because yeah. I'm always moving space, not physically taking a couch and moving it, but moving things. Like, what do you think of that?
I love that. I'm a big believer in feng shui and, I'm a student of feng shui as well. So like if you have crystals in the house, they different crystals will elevate and clear the energy. If you have plants in the house, so if you know nothing about energy, if you don't want to know anything about energy, but you want to have, you know, high vibe and good practice, keeping your house clean, you know, it's all feng shui principles, keeping it clean, making sure that everything has its place and you put everything back in its place, that will keep the energy kind of moving. And sometimes if you feel that something needs to move from one position to another, move that around. But I think plants are great, crystals are great, anything that you feel good about in your house where you have love for it, that also lifts up the energy. Candles are great for kind of burning. And if you set the intention, well, I light this candle, it clears up the space. Some of you guys would like sage. Others would like incense, excuse me. So there's different ways of kind of doing it. You can also get different sprays that have different frequencies. So flower sprays, angelic sprays. So you can spray them around your house and to lift up the energy. One of my most favorite tools to shift the energy in any home, open the windows.
Yes. Oh, I'm
open
with
the
you.
Windows.
I'm with you.
Clear and just say, clear out any old stagnated energy from myself, from the room, and I invite in a brand new energy, and that's it.
Keep yeah.
It very, very simple.
Actually, before we recorded, anytime I record, I have this little glass bottle, and in it is, it's a smudge spray, and it's just a liquid spray. I always put that on myself before I record, and the reason I do that, I don't want to carry any discussions that I've had prior to my discussion with whoever I'm interviewing. I want it to be authentic. I want it to be 100% presence. I don't want to have my mind somewhere else. So I do this every single time because I feel that if you don't do it, and whatever resonates with you, and I'm always about that. I mean, for some people, it's prayer. I know my mom, she's a huge Catholic, and I'm like, do it. If that makes you feel good and you feel like reset when you do it, do it. You know, I just love that whole having some practice that resonates with you.
Yeah. And just even having a shower is a great way of clearing your energy. When I didn't really believe in energy stuff, that's how I started. I would like, okay, I don't feel so great. I'm just going to wash my energy and I'll have a shower. And physically you're washing yourself, but you can also set the intention. So I think it comes back, what is your intention by what you're doing? If you're consciously doing it, you're consciously intending to put a plant in a specific place to keep the energy clear, or a crystal in a particular place to keep the energy clear, or sprays, then it will work.
Yeah. Okay. I have to talk about your website because it's just, like I felt a massive shift after doing, I know that you do have a membership that is paid. You have a few different options, but for people to get started with you, they can go to your website and do have access to a few different. Now they're not like, I call them visualizations, right? So maybe we should clear this up right here. Like, what is the difference between a meditation, a visualization, and then there is energy healings, there's energy clearings, energy alignment. Like, I don't even know what I did on your website, but the next day I felt the shift.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because there's.
You need to know.
Yeah. I felt it the next day. Yeah. And I will say to you guys who are listening, I woke up and I felt lighter. And then I physically had to make changes to my space. I threw out stuff in my basement that's been here for like 10 years from when the kids were little. And I took out 4 giant garbage bags and I immediately felt lighter. So what did I do? What was it?
So I would call it as a healing journey, right? It's just a journey. And those of you guys that are familiar with shamanic work and shamanic journey, it's a little bit like that. But in very simple terms, it's I call it a guided visualization because it's the best and easiest way to kind of explain it.
Okay.
But it's infused with energy, healing, clearing, and alignment. So the healing is helping you to kind of heal parts within you. So if you think about the journey you go on, it's taking you on a journey deep within yourself, because I truly believe that you have all the answers within you. So the way that those guided visualization meditations work is, the first bit is that you ground, right? So you ground and you stay connected to your body. And after that, you then start working either with your guides, or I take you more on a journey, right?
Yeah.
A journey within you between, from, you know, between space, time, and the universe, whatever it is, right? And in through that journey, there's a couple of key concepts. One, which is about clearing your energy. So there'll be something that's designed in that meditation that is specifically designed through intention to clear your energies on a specific thing, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's a bit which is then designed to recharge and recalibrate your system, right? And then there's another one which is to really help align you with your own energy system. So say, like I mentioned before, that there's an aspect of us that is in this human body, but there's another aspect of us that's outside of the human body. And I would call that that's a purest essence of who we truly are. So what we're seeking when we're seeking our purpose is that part of us. So what I do with it's intention that that aspect really connects with us. So we build a stronger connection with that part of us. Therefore, you get, when you have the clearing, something has shifted within you, which means something has created space, which allows you to expand your level of conscious awareness, which then inspired you to take the inspired action to do the clearing, mm-hmm. because that thought was probably already there, but there was no space for you to kind of hear that thought or see that thought or feel that thought to be able to take that action, right? And then more of you was present. So when you've had the clearing, it clears out all the energies that don't really belong to you or that no longer serve you. So it just has that kind of clearing effect, which then creates a space, then allows new energy to kind of come in. Mm-hmm. So it's very much like opening the windows.
Yeah, it's kind of like the stuff that I do normally, but it's in a different way. Now, can somebody do those multiple times and get something different from each time?
Yes, because we're not the same person as we were today. We're completely different from the person that we were yesterday, and tomorrow will be a different version of ourselves. So I always believe that, you know, today we learn the lessons of yesterday, basically, and apply them. And then tomorrow is just, we're just a completely different version of ourselves tomorrow. So if you do it in a week's time or 2 weeks' time, depending on what you're struggling with or what comes up, you can do those meditations again and you'll have a different experience altogether. Mm. And some people fall asleep throughout the entire thing. That is absolutely fine, because it's not about being really strict with yourself to follow every single thing that I'm saying, because it's less about the words. It's more about the energetic transmission that is happening between the spaces. So that's what I mean when I talk about energy. Energy is the stuff that's in the spaces. So it's through frequency, vibration, and through intentions. Exactly how it works, I couldn't tell you. I just know that it works based on people that have done it and, you know, what I've experienced when I've even done it for myself, because I don't even hear my own voice. I hear a voice, but then I go on a journey as well.
Yeah, that's what I found. So I have been meditating for many, many years, and I find it very hard to meditate. So I do little snippets. I do 10 minutes. And I read a study once that said, if you can have out of 10 minutes of a meditation session, 3 minutes of complete calm in your brain waves, then you've done some good. So I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. So it was really hard for me to do this, just because I have that really active brain. But I did it and it felt good. But then I feel like I keep feeling like I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Like I need to do more. And you're going to laugh at this one. I know you will, because I actually opened my, you know, we talk about clutter. I opened my freezer door. This was a few days ago. And literally out of nowhere, out flies a giant package of frozen chicken breast, lands on my toe. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a sign. I got to do more decluttering. It's like, I'm not done yet. But I'm like, that's a sign, Sandy. Like, and it landed so perfectly that I thought my toe was broken. Thankfully, it's not. But I was like, okay, you know what? I've been wanting to do more decluttering. And, you know, it's just like, I'm not done. And are we ever done, Deepika? Are we ever done?
I think we're on a journey. So for me, a journey is that we're constantly evolving. So maybe it's done in this moment, that one thing is done in this moment, but there may be something else that needs to be done in another moment. But I always like to take a step back from that, because that can also be quite, can cause a lot of anxiety for those of us that are A-type personalities, that I still am a bit of that, you know, to think, oh my God, this is never going to be over. I think it's really important to remember that nothing lasts forever. And that we are constantly evolving, right? Whether we want to or not. If you think about it in this way, our fingernails is not the same that we had a couple of months ago. Our hair is not the same that we had a year ago, right? So the hair specifically on our head that's touching our scalp is different. So we're constantly changing, evolving. And it's also, I think there's something about we have a brand new body every 7 years in terms of the way that our cells regenerate and stuff. If you remember it from that scientific point of view, we're constantly changing. So you can consciously just accept that you're evolving and changing, and then you can start to interact with it in terms of becoming the more of a conscious creator and asking yourself, what do I want to create for me? What do I want to create?
I like that. And then, you know, when things do happen, to kind of go, okay, like that's a little bit of a sign, like maybe, because I'm a big believer in signs. A lot of people will just go day by day with blinders on, but I like to, and I'm going to ask you, I personally like to walk a lot in nature. I do it as often as I can. And I will never have headphones on. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't, unless I'm walking in the evening, then I always talk to my mom. That's my time that her and I talk. And then I'll have a chat with my mom. But during the day, I like to be awake and open, eyes, ears, everything. So what do you think about signs from nature? Do you believe that we're always given some signs? Because then you can tell me about Dolores. Yeah, we can talk about Dolores.
I do believe that nature is always talking to us. I think the universe is always talking to us, and it can come through nature. It can actually come through a physical road sign. It could come through someone saying something, or you overhearing a conversation of somebody, or you watching TV and then someone says something that you were thinking or gives you the answer to one of your thoughts or something like that. So I think, you know, when you start looking around you, that life is happening for you, right? And there's a greater power that's bigger than us that is guiding us in the best possible way. And it's only for our job is to listen and to follow. Right, which is really hard, especially those of us that like to control everything and need to know what's going to happen next and have a plan of how to get to wherever. Yeah. When we kind of relinquish that and understand, well, actually, we're always being guided. It's our free will choice to kind of go there.
Yes.
So that's one aspect. And then coming back to nature, I just think that just nature's always talking to us. And for some of us, if you're like myself, you know, I feel very, very connected to trees. So I have a tree that's just outside of my office, and I've lived here for over 14 years. And obviously that tree has been here for the last 14 years, but bear in mind, I was very, very unconscious when I moved into this property. And I think it must have been 4 or 5 years ago that I started to hear her sing. So I could, it's more of a feeling and a hearing. So when you come to your psychic senses, so you're kind of feeling and tuning into it from a psychic senses point of view, right? Mm. So that's how I feel her. But so those of you guys that don't think that you are psychic, if you lay your hands on the tree, you'll be able to feel the tree's presence. You'll be able to feel its groundedness. And that is the connection that I have with this tree. And then oftentimes I will hear her speaking. But that's because my psychic senses are a little bit more developed in that. But you don't need to have a developed psychic sense to be able to feel nature. You just feel it. You might not have the level of awareness that you are feeling it, but you'll feel it. Everyone feels nature.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that especially over COVID and all the lockdowns, it's been, you know, it's been my savior, like the connection, right? Like I'm listen, I'm still not a huge fan of centipedes or huge spiders or things like that, or bugs of any sort, really. But, you know, when it comes to going for walks in nature, I love it. Okay, so I do have to ask about the connection. What about people who just don't really feel any of it? They don't feel anything, not a lot of self-awareness. Like, is there a way to help them feel it? Or are they just meant to be that way and go through life without that connection or awareness?
I think I personally believe, and this is my personal belief as of today, with everything that I know as of today, and it may change tomorrow.
Yeah.
I believe that everyone can feel something. And I think it's a choice as well. So I think there's different paths for each of us. And I don't think we're here to enforce what we feel or sense onto anyone else. I think we each have our own path. And I think the most important thing is to kind of really stay true to that and allow ourselves to follow our own path. Because oftentimes what we find is that what I've seen, and I've done, and I'm guilty of this as well, it's like I've discovered something new on the spiritual path, and I'm just like, I want to share it with everyone. I want to share it with all my friends, and I want them to experience what I've experienced. And I've tried that, and I've also, back in the days, will try and force my friend to do something. And to be honest, it wasn't right for them. They weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, and they shouldn't be shamed at all. And I think that's the thing. It's about the more that you allow yourself to go on that path without having to try and force anyone else along it. And if they want to follow, let them follow. Do you see what I mean?
Totally see what you mean. Because it's the same in my line of work, where I can't make somebody understand all of the different ways unless they want to. And, you know, it's like people, even on social media, they'll follow you if they resonate with you, if they want to learn. And so for me, I'm always wanting to learn more, just from a spiritual, I guess, aspect of life. I feel like that's a huge component of just feeling better in this world, right? So I'm following you, and I'm right? So
I hope I'm helping.
But, you know, I follow people who have that sense where I feel like I can learn from them, because it's where I want to go with my life.
And I think you've touched on a really important part there, and it's when you're ready, the right people will show up.
Mm.
You'll somehow meet them. You don't even have to figure out what it is. You will just, the universe will do its magic. If I look back at the people that I've worked with as my own healers, my own teachers, they've just appeared, right? Sometimes I've typed in something really random into Google and someone's website's appeared. I'm just like, oh, okay, I didn't know that I needed that. Let's go and book a session in there, right? It just naturally happens. And I think it goes back to your point that you're making about there are signs, you know, everywhere. Nature has signs, but there's signs everywhere in every single day of life. It's being able to take that step back and looking at the signs and knowing that when you're ready, when you're ready, the teacher appears, basically.
Yeah. And then the next step to your journey on this earth also appears, right? Like naturally, right? But you can't force it, and you can't force somebody else to see it or feel it. So that's a very good point. So what would you suggest then, if somebody's saying, I want to grow, I want to expand as a person, how can they start? Are there any books? I know you mentioned a couple, but how does somebody just start on that when they're like, I just want to learn more?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. Is to put that intention there. I want to learn. I want to grow. I really want to learn. I really want to grow. Show me the way. So what you're doing in that moment, you're ending up in the surrender. When you're looking for a formula, right, you will pick up on somebody else's formula, but you may move further away from your own truth. So when you kind of surrender to it, like, show me the way, universe or God, whatever you believe in, or my higher self, show me the way. I want to learn. I want to grow. Show me where you want, you know, show me what to do. There's some really good books that I mentioned earlier, which is The Power of Now. It's great to really understand.
That's Eckhart, right? Eckhart
Tolle, yeah. And the way that you think. And I think his other book, The New Earth, is also good. Yes. I think that's a little bit more easier to digest, but it's got the same kind of principles in there. I would also say The Secret, because it helps you to shift the mindsets. If you're someone that's naturally a negative person, to have something that is a positive mindset one, that is great. But there's so many, many materials out there. And if you don't know where to start, maybe even just go to Hay House's website. There's all those authors and stuff there, and just pick something that you resonate, and you will always will feel something. You'll feel a calling. And sometimes, like, I wasn't interested in Deepak Chopra's work at all. And then one day I was in a bookshop and literally a book of his fell out in front of me.
Oh, see?
Yeah. So I picked it up, and that's when I started reading, and I've read it. So different authors and different teachers will appear at different times. So there's books, there's courses. I always say start with the book, start reading, because that's a great way of opening your mind and understanding what is else as is else. What else is out there. And that's how I started my journey. It's like, I knew there was another way, but I just didn't know what it was. And I think that is how I feel that the transformation has happened for me, because I wanted to change and I just didn't know how. So I was willing to try everything and anything. And so give everything and anything a go that came to me. So some things worked, some things didn't work. And that is part of the process of, you know, as you learn about yourself, because until you try that that food, you're not going to know if whether you like it or not.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
It's the same principle. So until you try something, for some people, Reiki doesn't work. You know, they just don't resonate with it. Some people it's NLP. Some people it's just coaching. Some people need something completely different, right? And I think I needed a bit of everything throughout my journey, you know. And we'll find different things that we'll need. So sometimes I've gone back to, for example, Rolfing is a great integrative work. So if you don't know and if you're not ready to try anything spiritual, you're not ready to read any of the spiritual books, go and get some body treatment. So you can do Shiatsu, Rolfing, acupuncture. You know, so all those physical treatments that you can actually try, and they're tangible, so you can try, and then your journey will just automatically kick up to there. There is no right or wrong starting point, and there's no right or wrong end point, because I don't think there is an end point. I just think we're just constantly evolving. We're testing and trying out new things.
Yeah, I love that you say that, because I was actually I started working on this a week ago, but really, one of the things that I always say, there is no summit. You don't reach a summit where you go, okay, like we were saying earlier, now I'm done. I'm done. I don't need to do anything else, because I feel like if you're done, you're kind of done. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, I always want to have a sense of deep peace within me that what I'm doing in my daily life aligns with what and who I am inside. You know, it's like that peace. Like, yeah, I'm on the right path. I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, and I would take out the right thing, the right path.
Okay.
I would go a little bit further, and I'm just like, does this feel good for me right now? And if the answer is yes, great, do it. If it doesn't, I will check in. So sometimes you have to do things that don't always feel good for you because of its human nature. And then sometimes I can go ahead and do that. But I think it's basically, what does it feel like to me and my body right now?
Yeah. Like, you know, if I'm out at a concert and I want that tequila, it feels good right now to have that tequila. So I'm going to have it.
So. Yeah. So you're basically treating yourself with kindness and compassion. Yes. And love. Yeah.
But Deepika, this is why I have never been a nutritionist that believes in very, very strict diets, because I do believe they can do more harm than good. Just, you know, so, you know, you're preaching to the choir on all of that. So anyway, is there anything else that you would like to add, Deepika? And you have to tell us where we can find you. I will have everything in the show notes as well, but anything I've forgotten?
No, this has just been an honor chatting to you today. And thank you for asking me some of the questions that I never thought to answer, because to me, it's just so natural and normal. And I think one thing I've realized is when you come to doing any form of energy work or starting working with the energy or raising your level of conscious awareness, it is really working from your heart center. So the heart center has a completely different language to your mind. So if you find yourself trying to or wanting to translate it, then you can get stuck in that cycle as well. So it's about allowing yourself to surrender. And it's almost like learning a new language without having a reference guide to the language that you already know. So it's just give yourself to the permission to learn. And I think that's where most of us get stuck as mm-hmm. human beings, is that learning something new without having a framework for what we're learning. And that's the gift and the beauty, because it also comes with playfulness, it comes with creativity, and that's where the possibilities are endless when we allow ourselves just to play in the unknown space.
I love that. Okay, so where can we find you?
Yes, so you can find me at anumi.com, which is my website. You can also find me at Anumi Change on Instagram, and the same on Facebook as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for this amazing conversation today, Deepika.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Sandy.
Join me next week where I cover off more exciting topics. I hope to continue to engage you and excite you and show you that living in your 40s, 50s, and beyond can be exciting, balanced, and healthful. Bye for now.